baseball, hot dogs, apple pie, and you fill in the blank. Summer and Chevy go together like road trips and sunshine. Check out the full line of Chevy SUVs and trucks at your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers today. Chevy, drive Chicago.
And we are back on Paul Listick Behind the Curtain, taking a look now at one of the shows that anybody who knows theater has been just waiting for it to get to Chicago. And yay, it's here. Stereophonic. This show is the most Tony nominated play ever, and also won the most Tony Awards for a play last year in 2024. This thing is incredible. Called Stereophonic. What's it all about? You're going to find out, because say hello to two of the cast members who join me now. Claire DeJean plays Diana. You're a tambourine player in this. Do you actually play the tambourine, Claire?
Yeah, I do.
You do now?
I'm a tambourine player. I've definitely had a journey with the tambourine, and I've gotten much better now.
Oh, I love that. Well, we're going to check on the accuracy of that comment with your co-star, Denver Millard, who plays Peter. And you guys are a couple in this show. So I'm so glad that we were able to get both of you here. So, Denver, let's just for a second pretend she's really your wife. Can she play the tambourine?
You know, there's actually a moment of contention in the play where I ask her specifically not to play the tambourine on a song. But no, I think she plays the tambourine quite well.
All right. And you are a guitarist. Peter is a guitarist in the show. Are you actually a guitarist?
I am a guitar player, yeah.
Okay. So I'm imagining in the casting of the show that's kind of critical to have people who actually can play some of the especially the guitar folks, right? Because we don't want to watch it and say, oh, that's somebody backstage who's playing that or something. So you are playing, right, when we see you?
Yes. Everything that you hear, with the exception of maybe a few small sort of sound cues, but everything that you see us playing, we are playing live, and
all
it's
right,
played back and live as well.
All right, so now we know who your characters are, but now people watching might say, okay, great, what's this show about? So Claire, let me come to you. Tell us a little bit about what the most nominated play of all time is all about.
Well, it is about a band in the 1970s, which you said Denver and I, Diana and Peter, are a part of. It includes us two, who are the two American members of the band, and three other Brits. And then just the two sound engineers. So there's an engineer and an assistant engineer who you basically see the show from their point of view. They're sitting at a soundboard the entire time, and you're kind of just watching the drama unfold of recording an album, all of the rises to fame, and kind of like how the relationships ebb and flow through this kind of crazy rise. So it's really like about making something and being a creative and watching it explode and watching things implode at the same time and all of that good stuff.
And just, Claire, just to confirm, it's not a musical, but I'd call it a play with music. Fair enough?
Yeah, I would say that's fair game. Yeah, it's not a musical at all. I don't think, in the same way that audiences think musicals usually like progress along the plot with the music. I don't even want to say that it doesn't do that, because I think in a kind of more subconscious way it does.
Okay.
But yeah, the music isn't written, Denver, correct me if I'm wrong, but to like progress along the plot.
Denver, let me give you a kickoff question as you go into that, which is, I have read, you tell me this is true, but a lot of people say, really, this is the story of this is actually the story of the making of the Rumors album. Is there truth that it's based in fact? Do you know that?
No, I don't think it's based off the making of the Rumors album. Okay. I mean, it's really could be any album, any band in the 70s. It really is just about the creative process. I think, like Claire said, it's seeing a group of bandmates who all have their interpersonal, you know, dynamics and how success and the quest for excellence affects those dynamics and the different personalities and how they deal with that.
It's also, by the way, it's the making of their second album, right?
Second, yeah.
Which is why I made the Fleetwood Mac connection in my head. But so it's the second album, but is there something too? So it's this American and British band together. It's interesting that it's set in the late 70s, 76, I think, but it's the making of a second album. So I guess Playwright wants us to have history between you.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Yeah, it's a bit, it's like, you know, it's interesting. I think when you're making something for the second time or you're coming around it and you've been with the same group of people for a long time, it's, Claire and I both went to conservatory programs, and this is just kind of what came up in my head right now. But it's like when you first get there, there's all this like magic and excitement, and you're so excited to be around the people. And then the sort of deeper you get into something, the more all of those sort of covers that you put on your personality might kind of start to fade, and you really get to know the people that you're working with. And I think there's something that's interesting in that dynamic of, oh, this is a group that, you know, they the first album might have only taken a couple weeks, I think a few weeks. This one's going to take, they get all kinds of money. It's going to take over a year. And so they're really stuck in the same place with the same people, hours and hours and hours on end. And that is like, it's just like a pressure cooker. And that is basically what you see on stage, is this thing getting, yeah, imploding in front of your eyes. And
well, sounds like election night on television.
Exactly. It's something like that.
Right. And Claire, here's the thing. Every night, you've got to tell the same story. This band goes through, there's the tensions and the aggravations and the yell, but there's the warmth, there's the love. And I'm guessing we start off peacefully and things happen. But so how do you create the dynamics every night, night after night, this shift between the band members? Does that make sense? It's got to be recreated night after night across a spectrum of emotions.
Yeah, I would say, just echoing what you said, this show is such a diverse piece for at least me. I've found it one of the most challenging things I've ever worked on, but also one of the most rewarding things. And to go through that kind of arc that I have has been really, really cool to do. And I honestly, I think that the most flawless way to do that and recreate that is to follow the footsteps of David Adjmi, who wrote this amazing play. And the text is just so rich and the characters are so fleshed. And we were lucky enough to have him working with us in our rehearsal process when we started for the tour, which I think is such a rare thing to have the playwright in the room. And we had Will Butler, who wrote our music, in the room. And also, I have to shout out Daniel Aachen, who's our director, who is amazing, who also gave us this amazing roadmap of emotions, but also the freedom to be able to kind of find our own way through these characters. Like, I think it is really not straightforward, but it is really specific in terms of what was written. But for us, like, I think that I was lucky to see like a few iterations of this play. And I think that every Diana I've seen is so truly fabulous, but we're all so different.
Because Denver, you were in the Broadway version of this, right?
Yeah, I was an understudy for the sort of 1.5 cast. It was a replacement cast. A couple of the original cast left. And I understudied the role of Peter and the assistant engineer, Charlie.
So when you understudied Peter, right, you had the relationship with Diana back then, but now here you are on the road, different person playing Diana. How has that shaped the relationship between those characters? The fact there's a different actor.
Yeah. You know, I mean, that's tough, because I always just go back to the script. And so I think the relationship is very much built into the play. No matter who the actor's playing, Diana or Peter, that the words and the actions that you see on stage are going to indicate the overall dynamic of the relationship. So, of course, I think Claire and I have a lovely chemistry, and I only got to do it I got to do a couple shows on Broadway, but certainly the chemistry and the dynamic is slightly different. But it's that's just something, that's the beauty of live theater. It's going to be the chemistry between these two us two actors versus the chemistry of me and another actor.
Yeah,
I'm not sitting there, and of course there's maybe some, you know, slightly different ways that Claire's doing certain things, and I'm trying to respond to those things. But of course, I have to respond to them with the text I'm given and the things that I already know about the play. So it's not a vastly different thing actor to actor, because you have to adhere to the text and to the baseline story that David has laid out. So,
but I'll bet you there's a difference in tambourine playing skills.
Well, I you know, maybe I can't speak to that. I don't want to offend any of my previous.
This was your chance to just build a relationship with Claire Wedding, but nobody is.
Classic Peter move, which is to be very, you know, we'll secretly we're redubbing the tambourine. No, I'm just
all
kidding.
Right. I love it. And by the way, Claire, we have just a moment left, but did you guys look, I lived through the 70s. I lived through this era. Did you have to do a lot of research as to what it was like, what, you know, what people were like back then? Or were you kind of always into that era of music?
I grew up listening to a lot of these artists like Joni Mitchell, Carole King, Fleetwood Mac, like things like that. So yeah. I've already been such a fan, and I don't know. It's so funny. I keep getting cast in things in this era, and I kind of think sometimes I'm like born in the wrong generation type of thing, but it's really wonderful. And I also love getting to kind of like touch into the female experience of someone living through that time. It's different than someone living in this time. So yeah, it's kind of cool to see that. I love it.
Let me go to Denver. Quick answer. We're almost out of time, but how about you? Denver, you at least have that mustache works for that period of time.
Hey, thank you. Yeah, I'm growing out the sideburns too.
Cool.
Right back, just echoing what Claire said, I, you know, when I first grabbed a guitar, it was like Hendrix. Of course, that's, you know, a little bit late 60s, 70s, but Hendrix, Stevie Ray Vaughan, he's late 70s, all that stuff. I love that era of music from the 60s through the 70s. Yeah. So.
All right. Well, I can't wait to see it. The show is playing January 27th through February 8th at the CIBC Theater. That, by the way, for Chicago, I know you guys have been to the city, but it's one of the more intimate of the older theaters here. It's a very classic. It'll give you the feeling of a New York theater while you're here, I think. And it's going to be great for the audience, because it means that because there has to be this relationship between the audience and the characters in this play, you're going to feel it. So have a great trip as you get here, January 27th to February 8th, and tickets can be gotten at BroadwayInChicago.com. Do not wait, because this one's going to be big. We've been waiting for this for a long time. Thank you both for your time. Safe travels as you head to the city. And thanks, everybody, for watching us here on Behind the Curtain. We'll see you next week.